Welcome to As We Live, a podcast aimed at helping you connect to the living God.
Hi, I'm Lyle Martin, and I'm here with John Martin and John Zimmerman and Steve Stutzman, and today we are talking about honesty. So we're just going to kind of open up the subject here a little bit and see where it goes. I don't know if we have a really good idea yet right now, but...
Do we have to be honest about it?
It might help.
Okay. I think it's a tough subject, like we were talking, Lyle. It's hard to know where to start because there's so many, it's kind of like the vine that you were talking about, John, the other day. Is it shame? Why is it so hard to be honest? How do you be honest? You know, we all know that we're supposed to be honest, but honestly, what are you talking about? And,
when we see the first incident of dishonesty, it was to hide nakedness. So I think that is a big key in the whole thing is, we're protecting something that feels naked.
We don't like the feeling of being vulnerable and people seeing who we really are. So we put up a facade. We put up a pretense and we become pretenders. And, you know, John just says the first element of dishonesty is the idea of trying to hide nakedness. And I would maybe even go behind that and say the first dishonesty was Satan looking at God and saying, I will be like the Most High. Mm. No, you won't. And so when you look at God and you bring a dishonesty into that, you bring an element that becomes very evil. And I'm going to make a couple of comments here as we go along about this that I would like for people to roll around in their mind. And by the way, we invite any kind of feedback or anything that people want there on Twitter or Facebook or Messenger or whatever, however you prefer to communicate. But there's the worship of God mixed with dishonesty crucified Jesus. It was not the worship of Baal or the worship of Ashtaroth. It was not the Roman anti-God mentality. It was the worship of God mixed with dishonesty, crucified Christ. And now I want to make another remark about that. It still is. In today's world, wherever you find people who want to worship God, but do it in dishonesty, they will crucify Christ at every opportunity. And I wish we could get that. I wish we could get a hold of that as a reality because Jesus said, you know, we're going to talk about honesty here.
Steve, explain that a little more.
Well, Jesus said when he was standing in front of Pilate, he said, for this cause, or to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And when we're talking about truth, we're talking about the way that God sees things. The simplest definition of truth is the way God sees things. The way that God sees things is the truth. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus talks about that, he doesn't talk about it as something you should believe. He talks about it as something you are of. In John chapter 8, he talks about that. He said, he's telling the Jews that couldn't believe on him. He said, why do you not receive my words? Because they don't have any place in you. I don't know if you guys have ever, you would have grown up on a farm. You might be familiar with this, but if you're milking cows, you take this thing that looks about the size of my thumb mm-hmm. in a pill shooter. You put it down the cow's throat, and it's a magnet, and it sits in the first stomach and collects all the metal, because those little particles of metal, a little piece of a screw, a piece of baling wire, something go through the cow, and if it goes in the second stomach and goes on through, it will cut it open and the cow will die. So you put a magnet in the first one and the metal hooks to it. Then when the cow dies or whatever, the veterinary goes and cuts this thing out, and you, vet used to have a couple of these laying on his desk to show you all the things that stuck to it. Wow. I always look at this whole notion of honesty inside of a person as connecting to truth. If there is an honesty inside of you, when you hear the truth, it will click into place. But if there's dishonesty in you, the truth will go in you and pass straight through you and go out the other side and never register. I think that honesty as a way of life, being honest about who you are and about what you're dealing with, is one of the primary requisites of walking with God at all. As a matter of fact, I cannot find anywhere in Scripture that God dealt redemptively with a dishonest person. There are two foundational pillars that everything is built on when man relates to God, and one of them is a willingness to be honest. If you remove that pillar, everything collapses. So when you said you wanted to have a talk about honesty, I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know where to start and where to stop. Because in my mind, this is so foundational. I don't even know. Wow. Everything is built on that. You refuse to be honest, buddy, you are on your own. You don't even have any kind of a guarantee that God's going to come looking for you.
So why is it so hard to be honest? Like some people, if you paid them to be honest, they couldn't be.
Well, wasn't that what he was talking about, the nakedness?
So does it start with shame?
I think that plays into it a lot. Where to go? First, I'd like to remark a little bit on what Steve said and what he isn't saying, I think, and Steve can correct me if I say something out of line here, but what he isn't saying is that you have to be perfect. I think that is key to this, because I think sometimes years ago when I would have heard somebody saying something that, like Steve just said, there would have been a cloud that came over me that would have made me feel helpless, because I was like, well, I can't ever measure up to that. And that's not even a thing. It's not measuring up to anything. It's just simply saying, this is where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And pray about it, because God already knows where you are. So we're not hiding it from him. Usually it's hiding it from others that keeps us from being honest. When the shame and the fear of having other people see us the way they are, the way that we truly are, is greater than our desire to be, and I don't know if that's the right way to say it. I was going to say if the fear and the shame is greater than our desire to be free, then we're going to bow to that in a sense. But I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but it definitely plays into it, because I know that there are a lot of you that want to be honest and want to be free, and so it's not necessarily that we're saying it's because of something you're doing that you're not, but that's the place to start, is to come before God and a couple of brothers and sisters in the Lord and just be honest about where we are, and God will meet us there and take us. I'm kind of fond of the idea of being aware of what God wants and then being honest with where I'm kind of having the ideal, like the ideal as close as we can to what God is saying in his word, and then laying our lives beside that and saying, so where am I? And sometimes we're miles away, and that's okay. God will get us to where he wants us when we start being honest and start seeking him.
Mm-hmm. Years ago, when I came face to face with needing to be honest with my wife and others where I was in life, because I knew I had to become free, it seemed like I was standing at the foot of a huge mountain, and I'm like, there is no way I'm going to cross this thing. I had no idea. But as soon as I did, I turned around and looked, and I was like, well, that's like stepping over an anthill. Like, what is it that causes things to look so much bigger when you're standing there needing to be honest about it than what it really is?
Yeah, I've dealt with that a lot in my health, you know, just dreading, living in denial, dreading the idea, for example, of blood pressure. That was just a huge thing for me. And I finally went in, and yes, I had high blood pressure. But just being honest with where I was part of the problem. After talking to someone about it and getting help, it was amazing how that was a good part of the problem. And so that gave me courage to keep going in other areas. Well, what about other areas? What about recording my time at work or using somebody else's credit card, you know, or being honest with my wife? So the whole thing of being honest, it's encouraging when you're honest with where you're at, even in your walk with God, because you'll go deeper the more honest you are. But I definitely deal with that, the judgmental thing. Like, I'm sitting here thinking, wow, did I do something or whatever? And so I like what you shared about that, John.
I think the fear, Lyle, you're talking about, you know, why we don't want to. The fear becomes a big thing. What if, you know, what are people going to think of me if I'm real? What are people going to? And part of it comes from this whole mentality that somehow or another we are human doings instead of human beings. I mean, you know, the Bible says, be perfect, for I'm perfect. And I don't, but I don't think that God is under any illusions that we're going to walk around here being perfect. If there's somebody around that's perfect, and I haven't met him, and I'm not in any way pretending to be perfect in that way, but I do think we can be real. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't see why we go to church. It's like we walk in and immediately, you know, we shake hands. How are you? Well, I am fine. And everybody's fine. You know that's not true. Why do we feel so much pressure to somehow or another be fine? Well, you know, why I keep waiting. Sometime I'm going to walk into church and ask somebody how they are, and they're going to start crying and say, rotten. I just screamed at my wife on the way to church. I'm rotten. Oh, hallelujah. Now we got some forward motion. We can stop the service and everybody gather around them, and we'll pray and restore such an one. Amen? Amen. Now we got forward motion. But you can't have forward motion if everybody's pretending. I mean, you know, we talk about praying. We're going to pray. Starting a prayer out by agreeing with Satan is not a great idea. So you have the publican goes down to pray. He goes out there in the street corner, and he beats on his chest and raises his hands and toots his little horn and says, oh, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Well, that's basic dishonesty. Yes, you are. And he starts his prayer out by alignment with Satan. There's nowhere to go with that. But the other guy won't even lift up his eyes, beats on his chest and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, this man went down to his house justified. And there's those two pillars in there, you know, the one of honesty, the one of choosing to believe are there. Both of them are in that prayer. But he had to choose to be honest. And I don't, that choice to be honest, just having this discussion, I started looking back in life and trying to figure out where that came from. I don't know if it just came from being raised in a cornfield. There's nobody to lie to. I mean, I'm just out there and it's me and the tractor and the cow. Who exactly are you going to pretend to? You might as well just be real about who you are, because there really isn't anybody to pretend to. I don't know where, you know, maybe if people grow up in a city and every day they're around millions of other people, that they feel like somehow there's a requirement of pretending to project an image or something. I'm not real sure. But it just, the idea of trying to project an image and get people to believe something about you that's not true, that just makes me tired thinking about it, man. I can't imagine how difficult that would be. Because then who am I going to allow to see who I actually am? Just my wife or not her either? Now I got to project an image to everybody that's around me all the time? I don't have that much energy, guys.
But what about the guy and the guy? It's always the other guy, right? So we'll say we know this guy that wasn't necessarily trying to project an image as much as protect a shamefulness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're caught up in, you know, you name it, whatever kind of sin. And we're in a culture where we've seen what happens to people that have been honest, and it's like there's a mark on them for years and possibly even for the rest of their life, where everybody just, you start talking about a certain guy and his, oh, that's the guy that, you know, did this. And I think it's that kind of a culture that really gets in the face too of being honest. And I'm not excusing us for, I think it's still, it's always right to do the right thing. And at some point we have to get past letting other people's choices project our, or affect our projection in life or whatever. But that's kind of, that was kind of my experience. Oops, there, I said it. that I was trying to protect, not necessarily project, but to protect. Mm-hmm. And the fear of being known as that guy that had this problem for the rest of my life. And I thank God that eventually I did get to a place where I wanted to know him more than I cared about what other people thought of me. And it got to a place where, kind of like Lyle was saying, it looks like a mountain, but when you actually step over it, it's just an anthill. And it's just like, wow. I think the Bible has something to say about the enemy when we actually see him too. And that's really meaningful to me. It's like, just press in. God is good. He has a good plan for us. He created you for a purpose. You have value. He's given you what you need to accomplish what he's put you here for. And the enemy wants to destroy that. But God is, compared to God, the enemy doesn't even really register. And so when we realize that the mountain is just an anthill and the enemy is just a piddly little thing that is projecting himself through the lens of fear, that we can come against that and just bow before the King of Kings and be honest.
Mm-hmm. And it's so refreshing when people are. I mean, I remember being back in a church. We were in a church one time. It was so far back up in the hills. I think it was in Kentucky somewhere. I'm not sure. I wasn't sure when we got back there if we're going to find a place big enough to even turn the bus around. The only comfort I got was meeting a log truck, and I figured he had to turn around up here somewhere. But anyhow, we get back up in there, and there's this little church. And we go in there on Sunday morning, and we start shaking hands with these people. They're sitting around there. There's a bunch of guys there with guitars, and they're going to do the worship. And so the pastor introduces me to one, and he says, well, this guy was guarding his marijuana patch with an AK-47 when I met him. And the guy's like, yes, sir, I was. That was me, you know. And you go to the next guy, and he says, well, this guy here, he likes to play guitar and worship, but he's not a Christian. The guy's like, no, sir, I'm not. And I said, well, why not? You know, well, he said, it's coming. It's coming closer every time. He said, one of these days it's going to get me.
I like
that. And you go to the next guy, and he shook hands, and he said, excuse me, I got to go outside and take a smoke break. And there was just like nobody hid where they were at all. Nobody at all. And even, you know, the one guy that was there, the pastor said, well, this guy here, you know, they came to a ball game and they were both carrying pistols and they were going to shoot each other. And so I took them out to their cars and said, you guys get in the car and leave, because you start shooting around here, somebody's liable to get hurt. that was the way that people related on that kind of level. And I knew that God was going to do things in that place. Because there is something about honesty that attracts the Holy Spirit. Any time in history that you find a revival, that revival is a real revival, is always going to be characterized by the idea of people becoming honest and repenting. Mm-hmm. And there's something about that that just attracts God when people are willing to be honest. And I'm not sure why this thing of pretending holds appeal to people. I just, wow.
I find that story very refreshing, because I have had so much shame in my life, and looking back, I feel like I was a very dishonest person, dishonest with myself, with other people, even in business, just not being black and white, just not being honest. And I really see the shame in my life. I kind of see it as this crust, just this ugly crust that I was trying to hide behind. So, you know, what you were saying, Steve, that's very refreshing. Carrying that crust around is a tough job.
Probably one of the things that really opened my eyes to this whole notion is I got to wondering one day, what's good ground? In the parable of the sower, there's never any criticism for the sower. There is never any criticism for the seed. There is only criticism for the ground. So what's good ground? Well, you know, the pathway was hard-packed, and the devil, that was somebody that the devil had access to, and he'd snatch the word away. The stony ground, those were the only people that showed emotion. So those were probably the emotional crowd, because they really got excited about the word, and it sprang up immediately. But they had no root in themselves. Even though they wanted to get a hold of the word, there was not a consciousness there of honesty. And because of that, the word could only grow so much and it withered away. Then you got the thorny soil, and the word grows up, but cares and riches and pleasures grow up with it, and it doesn't bear much fruit. Then you have the good ground. And when Jesus is explaining to the people what it is, he says, the good ground are those, though that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart receive the word. And I saw it right away again. There's that thing of being honest. You be honest, the word of God has a place to grow in you. But if we're willing to pretend, the curse of religion has always been its willingness to pretend. The curse of religion has always been its willingness to pretend. Wherever there's a curse that follows religion around, it is always because of its willingness to pretend. And I think that the whole thing of being honest, it just becomes paramount. It, you know, it, I don't even like when somebody asks me how I'm doing to have a routine of saying I'm fine, because I'm not always fine. Sometimes I'm a long ways from fine. But I am always glad I'm a Christian. So there's a pretty good possibility that if you ask me, hey, how are you doing? I'm going to say,
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed, or I'm glad I'm a Christian. Because I'm not always fine, but I am always glad I'm a Christian. So there's, you know what I'm saying? There's even in small things in life, trying to turn away from the notion of dishonesty just toward honesty, toward being real.
We talk about wanting to have a deeper relationship with God, and that's kind of what all these podcasts are about, is so you can learn to connect deeper with God. And as you're talking there, Steve, my mind kind of went to the verse there in James that says, confess your faults one to another and pray for each other that you may be healed. And that takes honesty to pray for each other. And so there, looking at that, that's you have to be honest so that you can have that pure ground that the seeds can grow.
And I think, I'll put it this way. Maybe I'll ask it as a question. What does it seem to you like is the main reason, if you think of any group of people, you think of you and your wife, you think of your family, you think of your extended family when you have a family gathering, you think of a church, you think of a community, you think of your fireman's group or whatever it is. What is it that keeps people from being honest? What would you think of?
A perceived expectation or something like that? Or
yeah, keep going.
It's going to be fear or shame, which is just different words for what John just said.
Yeah, I agree too. I think a lot of it's fear. There's a fear that we can't be honest because somehow or another we're going to be exposed in our shame. And so it seems to me like a lot of it goes back to an identity. If you believe that you are washed in the blood and you are seated in Christ in heavenly places, what exactly is there to hide? I might be making this mistake down here. I might have a struggle with this or that or the other thing. Whatever. I'm probably always going to have a certain amount of them. But this thing up here, seated in Christ, that's who I am. And the am is what gives you the freedom to be real. The am is what gives you the freedom to be honest. And I think that's what Jesus is saying there with Pilate when we started out with that scripture. Standing before Pilate, is that I came down here to the earth to show you what it's like to live with an am. Regardless of what else happens, I have a position in heaven. Regardless of what you do to me, I have a position in heaven. Regardless if the whole crowd loves me and jumps up and down, screams and yells, I have a position in heaven. And if the whole crowd yells, crucify him, takes my clothes off, whips me naked before the world, and crucifies me on a cross, I have a position in heaven. And the am, who we am, cannot be altered by what is done to us on the earth. And when we get a hold of that reality, it is the truth, and it sets us free.
One of the best definitions I think I ever heard for shame is seeing yourself being seen in a negative light. And whenever I think of not being honest, I think for me, that thing I struggle with the most is because of the shame. Like, I'm thinking I'm going to be seen negatively for being honest. And the second thing is I'm afraid that people are going to reject me because I'm honest. And I think that's two of the biggest things that I had to work through and still working through is them two things there, the shame and the fear of rejection that actually comes with being honest.
Yeah, and the beauty of being in relationship or in a community of people who are honest is there is no need to try and be somebody that you're not. And so my encouragement would be for all of us. We don't claim to have a perfect understanding of this. We're still on the journey along with y'all, is to just give room for other people to be honest. Make it easier for each other to be honest, and let's just tear down those walls of expectations or some kind of value a group mentality of some groups don't want to allow each other to be honest because they're afraid that it'll make the group look bad and that kind of thing. And that's a real thing. I'm you know, but again, just to get to a place where we recognize that being honest is so important to our Heavenly Father, that if we're letting other people, if we're letting the fear of man and the image that we want to give control us to the point where we lie or not be honest about things, then God can't bless that. And so it's, yeah.
You got anything more on that, John?
I think there's a lot around the topic of honesty. And honestly, I'd love to hear your comments and your thoughts. Please send them in. As We Live podcast is really just about conversations about walking with God. And we're in this together. We're walking together and would love to hear from you. So find us. Post your questions. Let us know if you can relate to what we were talking about or if there's things that you're walking through in your own life that you're finding hard to. Really, the purpose of this is just to start the conversation and to understand there's a freedom out there. And so let's learn together.
There are a lot of people in today's world that are hurting from a lot of different things. There's all different kinds of abuse and experiences and death and sickness and separation. One of the things that I don't know if it's difficult to get a hold of, but I'm just going to put it out there so that people can try to get hold of it, I guess, is that healing is always predicated on honesty. You cannot ever be healed of something about which you refuse to be honest. If you want to be healed of something, you got to be honest about it first. There isn't any place to go. If a person says, well, I'm just going to hide this, I'm not ever going to tell anybody, nobody's ever going to know, and God will heal it, that's not going to happen. I like what Craig Hill says in one of the Blessing Generations things there. He says, if you want to be forgiven, you go to 1 John 1:9. You confess our sins, he's faithful and just. But if you want to get healed, you go to James 5, where it says you confess your faults one to another. And that the healing is predicated on the idea of opening up. And that's always God's thing. The honesty has to come first. So if you're struggling with something in your life, even if it's something that nobody else knows about, bring it out in the open. Sit down with somebody and say, look, right here's what I'm struggling with. And what you're going to find out is you're not the first one. I mean, we have people come into the office and sit there and struggle to get a story out. And we'll tell them sometimes, shock me. Tell me something I haven't heard. Because the fact of the matter is that temptation's pretty common. and mistakes are very common, and we're all kind of made out of the same dirt clod, and it's time for us to stop hiding from each other. This is just the way we are. And God wants to bring healing through Jesus Christ, but before he can bring that healing, his ask to us is, are you willing to be honest about it? And when we're willing to be honest about it, it opens a pathway of healing. If there's things there you've never been honest about, find somebody you can sit down and talk to, somebody you trust. Sit down and talk with them.
Father, we just thank you that we could come to you and be honest, and you're never going to reject us or put shame on us for what things that we have done in our life that we regret. And today, Father, I just pray for anyone who may be listening that has not come to a place of full honesty yet with you or with those around you or with their wives or with their children. Father, I just pray that they would be able to experience that you'd give them a peace, that they would be able to, for the first time, to sit down with someone and just be honest about where they are. Maybe it's fear in their life or it's involvements that they got into. Father, I just pray for an opening in their heart that they would be able to feel safe and for the first time be able to share that. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to As We Live. To submit questions, visit us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at As We Live Podcast.